800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of R. Galen Ross. And, of course, Galen has written a number of books. We carry his Elite Serial Killers, fascinating book, fascinating stories. You will never read anywhere else about the murder of Abraham Lincoln, and of course most people have no idea that John Wilkes Booth's granddaughter wrote a book about her grandfather, and of course talking about how he escaped to Great Britain and then eventually died in India. If that is true, how could you suppress information about a book written by the man's granddaughter based upon communication with people who knew what really happened to John Wilkes Booth? Is it possible we've been lied to? Well, Galen Ross has written a number of things. Of course, we carry his book on the elite serial killers going into the and then we carry his book on who's who in the elite. These are the people who really run our country, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. We have a DVD he has where you can actually hear David Rockefeller talk for about half an hour about his plans for a world government. It's a talk David Rockefeller gave. Fascinating sort of information. The man who really rules the world, controls the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and the Council on Foreign Relations. He is the honorary permanent chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the chairman of the Trilateral Commission. There are power brokers out there, and Galen's written about them excessively. Galen, thank you very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Stan. You're very informed.
Well, I want you to tell our listeners what you think is important today, because I think you are really writing about how these people of great wealth, have created this whole financial collapse that is intended to impoverish the American people and destroy our way of life.
Yeah, I'm writing a book right now. I should publish it in the next 30 to 60 days, titled What's Wrong in America and How to Fix It. And I go into a number of subjects that I'm sure everybody's interested in. And one of the key subjects that everybody in the world is affected by is the economic crisis.
And of course, they want to create this economic crisis. They want to bring the economy of the entire world down, and out of the chaos will come the demand for the one world government. It's such a simple plan, but it was truly diabolical the way they got all of the financial systems of the world dependent upon the United States, and then they destroyed our system.
You know, here's one fact that a lot of people are not aware of, probably most people, that the Federal Reserve Act was passed by the Senate on December 23rd, 1913. And the reason it was done that way, they wanted to schedule it right before Congress left. And 76 members of the House of Representatives and 27 members of the Senate had already left to go home for the holidays. So that was a planned effort there to create the Federal Reserve Act.
And, of course, they knew the American people didn't want a central bank, but they didn't understand it was a privately owned central bank, actually owned by the very bankers that created the problems we were plagued with. Galen, I'm going to ask you to move the speaker from your telephone just a little further away. We'll get better transmission. You hold it too close while we get a little lisping there. But our guest is Galen Ross, of course. He has studied these people, the elite who rule the world for many, many years, written extensively about it. One of the best informed people in the entire nation. We're lucky to have him with us. We'll be back here in just a moment to talk about the elite who rule the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is R. Galen Ross, author of the book, The Elite Serial Killers, The Who's Who in the Elite, another book. We have a DVD that he has put together with, you'll actually hear David Rockefeller talking for half an hour about his plans for a world government, how this is what it's all about. One only has to read David Rockefeller's memoirs, and we carry them. Page 405, where he admits he's part of a secret cabal that is conspiring to actually alter the world, bring about this new international order. And basically what he says is, you know, a lot of people accuse my family and me of being part of a secret cabal that is conspiring to bring about a new international order. And if that is the charge, I am guilty, and I am proud of it. In other words, he's admitting he's part of a cabal that is plotting to bring about this new international order. He brags about it, even though it's subversive, but he knows that the average person is never going to hear. You're never going to hear this from Rush Limbaugh, who laughs at anybody who talks about a secret cabal. Because Rush Limbaugh is one of the finest conservatives we have out there, one of the finest conservatives that money can buy. And this is how the system really works. There really is a ruling elite. Galen, how long have you been following them, and have you written some other books that we don't carry?
Well, I first was made aware of these people behind the curtain back in 1972 when I read None Dare They're called A Conspiracy by Gary Allen. And that stayed in the back of my mind until about 1992. And then I started, I just had to find out what was going on behind the curtain. So that's when I started doing the research for the first edition of Who's Who of the Elite, which I published in 1995. How's my...
It's so much better, you can't believe it. Go right ahead.
All right. I just really have a problem with international bankers deciding the destiny of everyone in the world. And they created the crash of 1929 of the stock market, and they refused to allow money to be put in circulation to allow the economy to recover. And they did that on purpose.
That's just what they're doing now. The major banks are not lending. Oh, we don't have any money to lend, they say. Well, they can lend it to China, to India, to Spain and Dubai, but they just can't lend it here in America.
And they can buy the bank.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Galen's talking about the international financiers. What everybody, of course, has missed about the international financiers is they all tie into this world occult movement I talk about. You can go up on the Internet and look up J.P. Morgan astrology. Just go to your search engine. You'll find J.P. Morgan was involved in astrology. Go put Andrew Carnegie and the occult. You'll find Andrew Carnegie was involved in the occult. Look up the Rothschild family and the Order of the Golden Dawn, which was a secret occult organization. You'll find that they were involved with the Golden Dawn. Look up Henry Ford and Theosophy, and you'll find out that, and spiritualism. Henry Ford, the Ford Foundation, is funding so much of what's going on today. They're all involved in the occult and very well rewarded for their allegiance to the dark side. But this is what nobody's going to talk about. You go back and you can read President Andrew Jackson's, farewell address in 1837. That's included in our syllabus on the financial Armageddon. But President Andrew Jackson talked about the bankers had specifically at that time destroyed the economy, how whole communities were wiped out. This feeling of despair that gripped our country in 1837, brought about intentionally by the banking interest. You read what he had to say, and it's like deja vu all over again for what's happening today. And the battle that Andrew Jackson fought in the 1830s, well, the final battle of that war is being fought today, and most people don't even know there's a war going on. Go right ahead, Galen.
Henry Paulson went to Congress several months ago and said, we've got to act immediately to avoid a world collapse of the economy. And they claimed it was based on only on these subprime loans that were out. But the real reason behind the need to act immediately was on December in 2007, there was $1.144 trillion worth of derivatives that had been created by the banks and put on the market, and that was the real cause of the crisis. And nobody will report that.
And, of course, derivatives, for the people who don't know, are simply insurance policies written without any reserves behind them. Would anybody in the audience honestly buy an insurance policy, a health insurance policy, if the company didn't have any money to pay off if you got ill? Or from a fire insurance company that didn't have any money to pay off if you had a fire in your home? Or a life insurance policy that wouldn't pay your heirs if you died? But, of course, that's what the derivatives were. I mean, there isn't that amount of money in the world. We're talking between 700 trillion and a quadrillion, a quarter, one and a quarter trillion dollars of derivatives are out there, maybe even more. But they can't let the American people know. And they've simply been lying to the American people. They control the media. The American people don't understand this whole thing, this whole subprime mortgage crisis. And, of course, as it goes on, why even people with the prime mortgages are going to lose their homes? It is all designed to impoverish the people and steal their homes and transfer the wealth of the American people to the wealthy. Go right ahead, Galen.
On September 29, 2007, J.P. Morgan Chase had total declared assets of $1.2 trillion. Their exposure to derivatives was $91.7 trillion, or 76.4 times their net worth. That's bankruptcy. Citibank had a their net worth was $1.23 trillion, and they had outstanding derivatives of $34 trillion, or 27 times their net worth.
But, of course, they tell us they're just too big to fail, and so if they start to fail, the American people are just going to have to fund it and come up with $80 or $90 trillion for J.P. Morgan Chase and $34 trillion for Citibank. They're too big to fail. Why, if they fail, the whole system could go down. Where's the money coming from? Go ahead, Galen.
Now, as you say, we got these derivatives out there. They're built over one quadrillion. And as they spend those down, who's going to cover that? How are they going to resolve that? We don't know, but it'll all be done behind the curtain.
Well, basically,
we'll end up with a bill.
Basically, this is what we're doing. We're pouring money into the AIG, the American Investment Group, and they're simply pouring it into Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup. And we've given them over $160 billion. That's just the down payment on the really big payments that are coming down the line. And the American taxpayers are going to be stuck with it. We're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth of all recorded history, and the American people haven't seen anything yet.
Now, in June of 2008, there's another alarming figure. $54.6 trillion of credit default swaps were exposed. That's where the banks were exposed to. And that's one of the main reasons that some of these institutions have gone under, and we've had to back them up because they had these credit default swaps that they didn't have any coverage, any way to pay them off whenever they went sour. And but they won't talk about this to the general public.
Well, most people don't even understand what a credit default swap or a derivative is intentionally, because they don't want them to know what's really going on.
In fact, the derivatives, most of them are written by some mathematician, and he's the only one that understands what's behind it. And then the banker says, well, of course they don't put it this way, but they say, this guy says it's worth so-and-so, that must be what it's worth, and so here, we give us this money in. And it's all, almost none of the derivatives are understood by anybody except the creator. And that's a massive Ponzi scheme.
Well, we're in real trouble. In fact, they were already talking that the federal government has pledged over $14 trillion, either lent out, actually, pledged or promised to be used to try to bail us out of this. There was a report here in Newsmax the last 2 days about, they're talking we may have to go up as much as $23 trillion. People can't understand those figures. They can't understand that it took us, our country, 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt, and we accumulating $2 trillion in debt just this year. And, of course, what we're really talking about is the destruction of the value of our currency. And when you do that, you impoverish the people. But they don't know it's all part of a carefully conceived plan by people whose loyalty is not to America, but to this dream of a world government. Won't it be wonderful when you have a ruling elite and everybody else is a serf?
Let me just cover some of the technical things that they're allowed to do. They have what they call a pro forma financial statement that most companies, when they issue their financial statements, annual reports, it's done in pro forma fashion. Literally translated pro forma means for the sake of or the form of. And it's really an approximation. Now, no one within the controlling agencies insists that all financial statements must conform to the general accepted accounting practices. Otherwise, they just allow them to present these pro forma statements. And that's... When they do that, there's no way that the owners of the stock can know really what's going on within the company. And they have another issue that they get involved in, and they call it off-balance sheet. Now, what is that? A balance sheet is supposed to report all the assets and liabilities of a company. How could something be off-balance sheet? But they often use that term. And... that's another thing they shouldn't allow. Another thing that they allow in stocks, bonds, and commodities is short selling. Short selling is the act of selling something that you don't own. Just a plain short selling is you're supposed to borrow the stock or bonds or commodities and then repay them later. But they have another thing that they call naked short selling, where you can sell something and without ever planning to borrow it or return it.
In other words, you sell something that doesn't exist. I mean, that you got to be pretty creative to come up with something like that. But the banks have made literally hundreds of billions of dollars by doing that sort of thing.
And they also destroy the economies of a number of nations. The economy of Indonesia was destroyed by short selling. George Soros and several others went in there and short-sold the currency of Indonesia, and it crashed the economy. And then, of course, when it hit bottom, they bought back at the lowest price. And, So we need protection against these predators and buzzards that are living off the average citizen.
Amen to that. And, of course, George Soros is an example of everything wrong in America. George Soros is one of the major financiers of the liberal establishment that wants all power in government. He's one of the major backers and financiers of Barack Hussein Obama. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the financial elite of this world that's gone around the world as simply selling currency short, destroying governments, destroying the economy of nations, destroying the wealth of people in nations, whether it be in Malaysia or in Indonesia. And the average individual doesn't really understand that men like George Soros, a small group of them, are directing the course of our economy today with the ultimate aim of destroying it. Well, Galen, go ahead, pick the story up.
Okay, there's another or type of operation that's going on, and it's called hedge funds. And hedge fund, that's what they do. They sell things short. It's to hedge their bet. And just basically speaking, if let's say that I were to sell Dr. Stan's car, that's illegal. That's fraud. I'd go to prison over that. But George Soros and his like can sell stocks and bonds and commodities and currencies and get away with it because they are beyond the laws.
That really is true, and it's amazing the sort of things. Of course, the hedge funds, what they do is they go out and they have a little bit of money, and then they put that money up so they can borrow more money. They use that as a security, and then they'll take all the money they borrowed, and then they'll borrow more money, and they'll be leveraged maybe 100 to 1, and then certainly even a small move in a stock or a bond or a commodity can give them fabulous profits. And of course, that's when they got into trouble last year and early this year when the market turned against them. In fact, the only hedge funds that really made money were PIMCO and a fellow named John Paulson, and they got their advice from a fellow named Alan Greenspan, who was the exclusive consultant who engineered this whole collapse of our economy. And that's an incredible story. Alan Greenspan said nobody could have anticipated what was going to happen. Well, he obviously did, because he actually told the hedge funds what was going to happen. They took his advice, and they made countless billions of dollars of those two hedge funds that we're talking about. And most of the rest of the hedge funds really got into trouble. Go right ahead.
There's another mystery out here, and that's the Federal Reserve. Of course, they're secret, and so they have not been required to account for $9 trillion of off-balance sheet currency that they've put into the market to protect these financial institutions. Now, when people talk about this, they say, well, the Federal Reserve is loaning our government's money. The Federal Reserve is not part of our government. They can't loan our money. They're loaning Federal Reserve money. And so $9 trillion is out there, and they can't account for it. And that's going to create hyperinflation. The value of the dollar is going to crash, and we'll end up with economies, third world economy like they did in Venezuela and Argentina and several of the African nations where you could go buy a loaf of bread with a $100,000 note or something like that. That's what hyperinflation is. It devalues the dollar. And the amount of money they've put into the market can't do anything but cause hyperinflation.
Well, I certainly share your concern, Gail, and the trouble is the average American doesn't understand what lies ahead or who's responsible. They're just told it sort of happened and nobody knows how and nobody's responsible. But trust us and we'll get you out of the mess we've created.
There is an answer to that. And the lady that came up with this answer is Ellen Hodgson Brown from California. That her solution to this financial crisis going on is to nationalize the Federal Reserve System.
Hold that. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirk Galen's talking about the hedge funds, which highly leverage investment funds that already can, of course, manipulate the economies of nations, manipulate commodity markets, are allowed to do that without any restriction, and, of course, they're dealing with countless billions of dollars. Some of them got in real trouble, though, when the economy turns against them, but the ones that didn't, they were the ones, of course, that had hired Alan Greenspan as a consultant. Alan Greenspan said nobody knew it was going to happen, but he sure did, because he told those hedge funds exactly what to do, and they made billions. Everybody else was losing money. Alan Greenspan knew what's going to happen. He went over to the Saudi countries, over to Saudi Arabia, and all the Arab leaders were there, and he told them, get out of the dollar. It's going to collapse. If you want to maintain the value of your currency, get out of the dollar. He was the man who was supposed to protect our dollars, and now he's telling other countries to get out of the dollar. What does Alan Greenspan know about the future that the average individual doesn't? Well, you go right ahead, Galen.
Okay, I was talking about Ellen Hudson Brown's proposal to nationalize the Federal Reserve System. And the Federal Reserve, actually, they charge interest on the money that they loan to the banks and other financial institutions. So if we were to nationalize the Federal Reserve, the amount of interest that the Federal Reserve earns in 1 year exceeds the total income tax paid by United States citizens. So if we nationalize the Fed, we can eliminate the income tax. And then we need to also nationalize the national banks. And then all state banks and credit unions, we need to raise their reserve rate from 10% up to 100%, because our Constitution says that only Congress has the right to create money and credit and value the determine the value thereof. So if we allow credit unions and state banks to continue to do business with a 10% reserve, they're creating money, and so we need to stop that.
And I think it's so important for people to understand how the fractional reserve system works. Most people have no idea. What it means is you only have to keep a fraction of your reserves on file, and then, of course, you can lend out 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%, 50 times as much money as you hold on reserve, depending upon how dangerous you want to be, sometimes even 60%. So you can lend out $60, you've only got $1 in reserve, and you just hope, of course, that the market doesn't turn against you. People won't come and want their money out of the bank, take that dollar out. Then you've got to shrink your loans by $60, but you don't have to worry, because the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, backed by the full strength and wealth and integrity of the American people, will rescue these banks that have made these terrible, terrible decisions that have led to financial chaos. Of course, it's enriched the bankers, but we're responsible for them. That's what the FDC is all about. It insures the deposits. So Ellen Brown actually wants to create a system of state banks that will create their own money. Isn't that pretty well what she wants, Galen?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, I believe it's Idaho or one of the states up near the border.
It's North Dakota.
North Dakota. They have their own state bank, and state bank loans money to all the other banks. And they don't borrow money from the Federal Reserve. And so in North Dakota has zero financial problems.
And they're prospering right now, and of course all the rest of the country is in chaos, but that's because they're not dependent upon the privately owned central bank, the Federal Reserve System, that was created to enrich the bankers and impoverish the people.
Another thing that Ellen has proposed is that we nationalize our debt. If we nationalize the Federal Reserve and we own the Federal Reserve, we just cancel all debt that we owe to the Federal Reserve. And then as far as foreign nations are concerned, we just turn on a printing press and print money to exchange greenbacks or cash for treasury notes that are owned by foreign countries. So we can completely eliminate the federal debt by nationalizing debt and by monetizing the debt.
And that means, of course, that people who have something of value will do real well. The people who are in dollars, insurance policies, certainly in pensions, they're going to lose their insurance, but then so are all the foreigners. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're in an impossible situation with a debt that can never be repaid. Recently, I think it was the one of the members of the Federal Reserve Board, I believe in Dallas, estimated that the real debt is about $99 trillion. Remember, all the money in the world is only about $50 trillion, all the country owned by every country in the entire world. And our debt, according to the fellow from Dallas, is about $99 trillion. How will it ever get paid? Not going to be. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Galen Ross, and we're talking about Ellen Brown's suggestion of creating state banks that can issue their own money and credit. You pick up the story there, Galen.
Yeah. In fact, every state can do that. They can become completely independent of the Federal Reserve System and bring back our economies and just tell the... if you nationalize the Federal Reserve System, then... And all state banks would then borrow from the Federal Reserve. So the interest from the Federal Reserve that they earn from the loans to the banks, plus duties and franchise taxes, would pay for our federal government, and we could eliminate the income tax completely that way. And this is something that... Of course, the bankers don't want that at all. They don't want anyone taking over their business.
No, they sure don't. And, of course, they're going to do... If we were to try to do something like that, I think Ben Bernanke said, you know, if Congress should dare to try to interfere with, of course, with the Federal Reserve, why, there'd be financial chaos. And, of course, it would come about because they would create the financial chaos just as the central bank, the United States, created financial chaos during the 1830s. And trouble is, you know, most people really don't understand the history of the past, do they?
That's right. And Dr. Ron Paul entered a bill in Congress to audit the Federal Reserve, and I think last count I saw he had 240 signatures on that bill, and the Federal Reserve has never been audited, so that they're really running scared over that.
Well, of course, they're afraid the American people are going to find out that these people all interlock. They interlock through the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. There's only about 5,000 of them, but they own our government, and they own our politicians, and they own the media, and they own most of the major corporations, and those that they don't own, they're not lending money to, and they're going down, they're falling just like flies. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Galen Ross, talking about the financial problems that face our country, and what we can do about it in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Galen Ross. And, of course, Galen is writing a new book on the finances, just talking about, really, Ellen Brown. Ellen Brown, we've had as a guest several times. And she has suggested that the only way out of the mess we are is simply to do away with the Federal Reserve System or nationalize it. And then, of course, to set up a system of state banks. And the state banks then would be answerable to the population. And they would, of course, there would be no massive profits for the bankers. Their job would be to create the credit that was needed to maintain an economy, but not to allow it to get out of line like the Fed intentionally did, building first the housing bubble, I should say the stock market .com bubble, and then the housing bubble, and setting us up for the destruction of our economy. There's going to be suffering no matter what we do, but if we don't get back to a sound monetary system, then our nation as we know it, which is built upon credit and financing and investment, will cease to exist as we know it. And it may very well be that's going to happen anyway. Well, Galen, before we go on, I'd like you to get your telephone number out, let people know about your website, and if they'd like to get in touch with you, how they would do that.
Yeah, they can call me on my toll-free number, 800-410-5571, or they can go to my website, which is www.4rie.com, and read the entire site. There's a lot of very interesting information on there that most people are not aware of, and it also gives you an opportunity to order the books and DVDs that I offer.
All right, fine. Of course, you can always go to your search engine and look for R. Galen, that's G-A-Y-L-O-N, Ross, R-O-S-S. That's R. Galen Ross. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Well, Galen, what do you think is going to happen here? Because, of course, I think that Ellen Brown's ideas are excellent. But, of course, the bankers are under no circumstances are going to allow this. And they, of course, work as a cabal. They certainly work with very powerful forces. We saw what, of course, they did to Andrew Jackson. They tried to have him killed. They did kill... Sidney of Abraham Lincoln, they killed President Kennedy, they killed McKinley, they've killed so many of our presidents and politicians, and of course those politicians who they cannot get to go along, why, they'll simply, they'll buy them if they can, if not, they'll destroy them. And these people do not care about violence, they care about power, and they really are beyond belief. Very few people understand how this all ties into the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. Could you explain how this all fits together?
Yeah, it goes back several hundred years, where the Rothschilds have created secret organizations over the past couple of hundred years, and these organizations infiltrate other organizations and take over. For example, the Illuminati infiltrated the Freemasonry and took that over. And so the round tables were created, there's a round table in all major nations of the world. In England, it's called the
Royal
Institute of International Affairs. In the United States, it's called the Council on Foreign Relations. In Chile, it's the Chile Council on Foreign Relations. In China, it's the Chinese Republic Council on Foreign Relations. And so they take their members and funnel them in and out of governments to control what's going on. And all of our presidents since Wilson have been surrounded by members of the elite, these secret organizations. And they actually pulled the strings. House pulled the strings for Woodrow Wilson, and he was behind the curtain. And of course, people knew he was there, but he was the one that always whispered into Woodrow Wilson's ear.
That's Colonel Edward Mandel, House you're speaking
of. That's right.
Right.
Yeah. And so they have created. Back in 1954 is the first time I found evidence that they were going to try to create the Global Union, and that was at the first Bilderberg meeting in the Netherlands. And I actually have the copies of the minutes of that first Bilderberg meeting. And David Rockefeller was there, and his subject he was talking about was the world economy. And so that's when the creation of the European Union first was discussed by the elite. And in the year 2000, they finally completed the creation of the European Union. In the same year, they created the African Union, which is union of, I believe it's 53 nations of Africa that have an African union that's exactly like the European Union. Last year, they created the South American Union. And before that, they created the North American, or the NAFTA, and they're trying to create the North American Union made up of Canada, United States, and Mexico. And then after that, they will create the Pacific Union, which will be all the Pacific Rim nations. And then there will be a Middle Eastern Union made up of the nations of the Middle East. So their goal is to have one world government called the Global Union. They'll have a different name for it by then, and then change the name every now and then. It used to be referred to as the New World Order, but when George Herbert Walker Bush mentioned that in a couple of his speeches, people sort of got edgy, and from then on, they never talked about New World Order in any government meetings. They talked about globalization, which is exactly equal to New World Order.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Maurice, who's calling us from New York. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Maurice. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine.
Hello, Maurice.
Hello, Mr. Galen.
Yes.
Listen, I'd like to know, what precise role is, what's his name, David Rockefeller is? Is he the head of the,
He's head of, all of these, the secret organizations, and he reports directly to David D. Rothschild in Paris. But he's the figurehead, and, the Rothschilds are behind, he's agent of the Rothschilds.
All right, Maurice, anything else?
Yes, but, so who's the premier ruling family then?
I'm sorry?
Who's the premier ruling family of the earth?
Who's the premier ruling family of the earth? All right.
Of the whole world, it's David D. Rothschild. Of the United States, it's David Rockefeller.
But remember, behind all of these, Maurice, they are all tied into the occult organizations. This is the only way it makes sense why this thing can go on from century to century and can be so carefully concealed. All you need to do is look up, go to your search engine and look up Rothschild and look up the Order of the Golden Dawn or look up the occult. You'll find the strong occult ties going all the way back to the foundation of the House of Rothschild. But then long before that, you can go back to the Knights Templar, the first international financiers, and they, of course, came out of the occult as well. They dominated the economy of the continent back in the 1200s. So if you understand how this all fits together, it begins to make sense. Anything else, Maurice?
Yes, sir. Well, this sounds kind of far-fetched, but I mean, it's all according to prophecy. Do you think that the Antichrist is alive today in the world right now? Just waiting behind the scenes?
No one knows.
But if I was
there's always speculation out there, but no one knows.
No one knows, but if I was betting man, I'd say that it may very well be. All we can do is wait and see. But an awful lot of things of prophetic significance are happening today, Maurice. Hey, thanks very much for calling. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
I don't know. Christ is coming soon. That's all I can say.
Well, let's hope he does. Let's pray he does. God bless him. Thanks very much, Maurice. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But there's so many people say, well, Christ's going to come. I got nothing to worry about. Well, believe me, before Christ comes, we're ever going to see terrible things on this earth. This is what's prophesied. Terrible times. So if you are out there in the listening audience and you're a Christian, don't sit back and say, oh, I got nothing to worry about. Believe me, we are called to be involved in what's going on. And of course, there's so many Christians who are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, they're part of the problem. Well, let's go to Heinrich, who's calling from Connecticut. Hi, Heinrich, do you have a question or comment? Heinrich, are you there? Heinrich, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. A couple of questions for your guest. The guest mentioned about the Illuminati taking over Freemasonry. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
you certainly can. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Now, I saw in a particular old publishing, there's a publisher out there that publishes all of Albert Pike's books. I mean, they're public domain. It's a name that sounds similar to Henry Kissinger's name, but it's not Kissinger. I'm sure you may know of it. They have some old book there from 17th century or 16th century. When was it when the Illuminists took over Masonry? Was it 16 something or was it 17 something? And prior to them taking it over, what was it like? I know Freemason means Freemason, so I know that part. Go ahead. I'll just listen and I have another question, but go ahead.
Best I recall, it was 1776 or something like that.
Well, the Illuminati was formed in May 1st, 1776. It was
By Adam Weishaupt.
And it was after that that they infiltrated the upper echelons of Freemasonry. They needed a secret society. And of course, they worked then within the Masonic movement. They worked then within the Jacobin movement. There were all sorts of movements that all tied into the Illuminati, and the Illuminati still exists in the upper echelons of Masonry, which most Masons don't even know exist today.
Yeah, I have a copy of a membership of a person that is a member of the Illuminati, and I've got a copy of it.
All right, fine.
Wait. You say, all right, now let me ask this. Where is that located? Is it called the Order of the Illuminati, or is it called the synagogue?
Just called the Illuminati.
Do they actually have a website like Masonry does?
No, I haven't seen one, but I've got a friend of mine ran into a church, and he said, "Let me show you something." And he pulled out this very old document. It was very aged, and he opened it up, and the title of it was "The Illuminati," his aunt, our great aunt, was a member, and it had her name in there.
What kind of symbols it have on it?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Okay, but I think that but you have to understand, Heinrich, that there are many secret societies today.
There's good ones and bad ones. I mean,
I don't know any good secret societies. Maybe you know some, but
I'm not thinking of secret societies. I'm probably thinking of occult things like the Guardian.
Okay, do you have one quick question? Because we've had a couple of other callers.
Yeah. The other thing is this. I think it was Giuseppe Mazzini, who was Albert Pike's boss, and he ran the Illuminati. Or was it Adam Weishaupt? Oh yeah, you mentioned about David Rockefeller. Well, it's David J. and Nicholas, because Nicholas talked to Aaron Russell, and he's still alive.
Well, we don't. Don't know whether Nicholas and Jay are really members of the Rockefeller family. They call themselves Rockefellers, but if you look at the lineage of John D. Rockefeller, we don't find them there. But go right ahead.
All right. Well, no, there is an O'Neill too. Well, first of all, the Rockefellers are Jewish. It's Rothschild, and there's a out in Chicago. A couple of them met up here, and yes, I knew it was them. Because they have the symbolism even in the paper. I won't go into all that.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry.
One of them goes by the name O'Neill.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Heinrich. Let's go to Steve calling from Pennsylvania. Steve, do you have a question or comment?
Hello, Steve. Comment on the Oklahoma City bombing. The name of that building, that was the Alfred P. Murrah Building. That's right. And I got a friend of mine that told me he was sitting in this room at a university, and they were trying to, this was back in 1988, they were trying to figure out a building to blow up. And this congressman, they waited like 2 days, and nobody could name a building to blow up. And about 2 days later, this congressman stood up, and he said, I got an axe to grind with one of these federal buildings. Every time I'm in Washington, D.C., everybody asks me if that's my building, if that's the Alfred P. Murrah Building. And this guy's name was John P. Murtha. And every time Murtha would go to Washington, people would ask him about the Murrah Building. They got Murrah and Murtha, and they caught the P in it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like a great story. Can you verify it?
Well, just not... now this is the other thing.
No, here we go. So it's a great story, but thanks so much there. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Galen, we got just a couple of minutes. What thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners today? What part does the Trilateral Commission play with this whole financial hierarchy, that banking hierarchy that really controls governments throughout the world?
Well, of course, the Trilateral Commission, by name, is made up of three groups, the Japanese, the North Americans, and the Western Europeans. And that was created in 1973. That's, yeah, but the purpose was to bring the Japanese into these secret groups because at that time the largest banks in the world were in Japan. And so they wanted to somehow gain control of the Japanese banks. But the Trilateral Commission is probably number three in the order of power. I'd say the Bilderbergs is number one, Council of Foreign Relations number two, and then Trilateral Commission number three in terms of power, in my estimation.
Although it is amazing to see that there are 11 members of the Trilateral Commission who surround suddenly Barack Obama, and of course their people hold key positions. For instance, James Jones, the head of the National Security Council, Thomas Damalon, his assistant, the Trilateral Commission. Certainly Hillary's husband was Trilateral Commission. Woman who's ambassador to the United Nations, Timothy Geithner, who actually heads the Treasury Department, his administrative assistant, I guess he actually comes from Goldman Sachs, but that's a Trilateral Commission. Anyway, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two to wrap up today's program. But there really is the financial and ruling elite. Most people say it couldn't be true. If it was, why we'd hear about it in the newspaper, and you don't hear about it because they control the newspapers. Well, Galen, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us today.
Okay. Well, the financial crisis was really done by design. It wasn't an accident. It was done to weaken the entire world so that then they could come out and say, well, we need to, sort of like the Bretton Woods group, we need to form a new Bretton Woods and set up a new central bank for the entire world, and then have all these other central banks report to that central bank. And then in the meantime, we need to bring all these unions together and have them report to one global union. So the long-term goal is to create one world order or one global union. And they're getting very close to it. They've set deadlines, for one reason or another, they passed over those deadlines. For example, the North American Union was supposed to have been complete in the year 2005, but a number of things came up to get in the way of that. One of them was a fellow named Hugo Chavez, of president of Venezuela. I give him credit for single-handedly stopping the creation of the American Union. A lot of people may disagree with me on that, but that's my thought on it. But we really need to get the banks out of the control of everything that we do in our lives. They do everything for profit and for their own profit, and they care nothing about the lives that are lost and in all these many wars that they've created, and the young men and women that go to battle come home with all sorts of post-traumatic stress disorder, and I really can't see how you could ever get it out of your mind if you shoot someone and see them fall down. I don't think you could wipe that out of your mind. But then many more come home with some of their limbs missing and terrible disfigurements, and all of this is for profits of the international bankers. And we've got to solve that. We can't let the bankers destroy the lives of so many people and sacrifice our young men and women in these wars that they create for their profits.
I think you're absolutely right, Galen, I think that you've done a great job in the books that you've written and in helping to expose this secretive cabal that really operates behind the scenes. Thanks very much for being with us. Bye-bye. God bless.
It's my pleasure.
Well, we do hope you've enjoyed Galen Ross. We do carry a couple of his books. We carry his book, The Elite Serial Killers, goes into the murder of Sidney of Abraham Lincoln and of John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King does a very good job on this. And then we carry his book on the who's who in the elite, and it gives you the list of all these people who are really running the thing. We carry his DVD, the interview with David Rockefeller. It's actually a talk David Rockefeller gave, and somebody where he talks about their plan for world government. They're all available by calling Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The book, The Elite Serial Killers. The list is called The Who's Who in the Elite. And then, of course, the DVD is just simply David Rockefeller talking. And so if you'd like to get them, give us a call. Then to put the thing into their spiritual perspective, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and it's amazing. The book is really moving and moving now. It was, of course, written about that year 2000, 2001, and yet it's moving and moving more rapidly now than ever. We're just getting all sorts of orders from all across the country, from all across the world. People know something's wrong. They're looking for answers, and you'll find the answers in the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear our talk on the forbidden secret and get the syllabus that goes with that and learn about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. George W. Bush mentioned the angel that rides in the whirlwind twice in his first inaugural address. What was he talking about? Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm? And then he talks about, of course, in his second inaugural speech, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is this new order of the ages he was talking about? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secrets out there. George W. Bush, his dad, George Herbert Walker Bush, their grandfather, and a number of the other Bushes have all been members of the secret society, the skull and bones that is so secret that they will not tell anybody anything about it, and if they did, it would cost them their lives. We have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones. We have a book on Skull and Bones. You need to have this information. You need to learn about the Bohemian Club. We carry the Alex Jones picture, the DVD on the Bohemian Grove, and there you'll see the leaders of our nation with their cloaks and their hoods and their candles and their chants and their feigned human sacrifices, at least we're told their feigned human sacrifices, standing before the great owl of Moloch. And we have their own publications where they talk about how they revere the owl. How they revere the owl. You need to get our four tape set on the Bohemian Grove, the DVD on the Bohemian Grove, and then, of course, we have a couple of books on the Bilderbergers. We have four tape sets on the Bilderbergers. We have a DVD on the Bilderbergers that Alex Jones did. Great information. You need to understand there really are secret societies out there. And they are so powerful that, of course, they control what the American people think. To understand so much of what's going on, let me suggest you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. Read our newsletters. They're free. Read the last couple of newsletters. Go into the background of Andrew Jackson's fight with the Second Bank of the United States. We had little pamphlets, got a three pamphlet series on the occult hierarchy. That's the occult hierarchy that really rules the world. And unless you understand the spiritual forces, you can't understand anything that's going on. We suggest you get Pastor Billy Crone's 10 DVD series. You get part one or part two, The Final Countdown. That's The Final Countdown, because we see the fulfillment of biblical prophecy today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.